Merkle Media. Merkle Media.
And she was a few months pregnant at the time with our third child. And she freaked out right away. And she's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "Well, don't freak out, but I just drove off a bridge."
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Brian Merkle.
And we're really glad you're here. This is a voicemail show. Before we get into the voicemails, let's get down to the business. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We're doing the voicemail show. But, Dad, tell them what the voicemail number is.
Hey, the voicemail number is 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
6375. Give us a call if you have a quick hitter you want to show on the show or share on the show.
Yep, share it.
Yeah, that's what I meant
to say. Don't show it.
Share on the show. And we'll have you on the show like this one you're about to hear. Also, if you want to get prepared, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. And there you get yourself emergency supply, food, and survival gear in case there's an emergency that pops up that you don't know is coming, but it's coming. And you are ready to rock and take care of you and your family.
You got that right.
We also have a tip jar for the show now. The tip jar is buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. That's buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. You can go. I can't talk today, man.
Nope.
I can't. You could go. You could go.
You could go.
You could go. You can go to Hammer Lane Legend. No, that's the wrong one too. I really can't talk today.
Yes, it is.
You can go. Listen, you really
buy me
can.
A coffee.
Please buy me a coffee.
Hammer Lane Legends. It sounds like you need one. You need a coffee.
I need a freaking coffee.
I need a pot.
Dad, what's the
you
website? What's coffee. The website?
Buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane.com.
Buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane.
That's what I said.
Okay. I think
apparently we don't know where
we
it's
don't
at.
Either. We don't freaking know. All we know is we're truck drivers. We need coffee. And at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane, you can buy us a coffee. And we greatly appreciate it if you keep us caffeinated. Let's move on before we butcher it anymore. Dad, we got ourselves a voicemail line show.
Oh, that's awesome. Yay! Voicemails are fun. Everybody loves a voicemail.
Everybody loves a voicemail. So let's get to the first one. Listen, it's been a while since we did this. We have been busy on Sundays recording interviews, and today, the day we're recording this, the second interview didn't happen, so we're going to do a voicemail line show. We have 25 voicemails in the archive. We're not going to get
awesome.
To them all, I'm sure, but we're going to try to knock through some of these for you today. Hopefully, you enjoy the show, so let's get to the first person right now.
Hey, Brian, Mr. Merkle, and yeah, that guy, Tony. Hey, this is Rogue King. You guys know me from Central Assembly. You'll figure that out. Anyway, here's a story for you. Going west on Route 80 out by, I think it's Clearfield, PA. There's a kind of roll along, you go down a hill, over the bridge, and up the bridge, up over the other side. And beautiful, starry, moonlit night, cruising along. You know, can only do 62, trucks governed, but I'm cruising. And one of those cattle trucks goes blasting by me. I'm like, geez, he's rolling. Well, all of a sudden, we're coming to a dead stop. I go down the hill, over the bridge, go to come up, and I'm met by a bunch of cows walking across the road. Yeah, he took that thing and rolled it right on its side. There are cows everywhere. That was the weirdest thing when you're sitting in your truck and you look out the window and there's a cow staring back at you. It's like, wait, what? But yeah, he rolled that puppy completely right over on its side, and I don't know, I got out of there before they started cutting up the beef. Probably should have hung around, got some steaks and hamburger out of it, but yeah, that was a wild night that night. And I was heading on out west, out in Ohio somewhere. But yeah, you know, that's cow tipping on Route 80. That was a fun night. So hey guys, have a good day. And Tony, keep it the shiny side up and the dirty side down. All right guys, have a good one.
All right, Road King, thanks for calling in and talk about cow tipping, man.
Cow tipping on Route 80.
Holy crap, man.
Yeah. Reminds me of me almost running into a cow on my way home from doing a show one night.
Oh, that's right. Did you ever tell that story?
I don't remember.
Tell that story real quick.
Driving home, it's dark, it's raining out. I could not believe it. All of a sudden, somebody's coming at me flashing their lights. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I don't see nothing going on. I come down the hill, and there's this big bovine standing in the middle of a road. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Holy cow. It was big. Literally, holy cow.
Oh, man.
Oh, my word. I was like, oh, you know, somebody will show its way home. So now, hopefully, I'm out of here.
Hopefully. If you had a big enough truck, you throw that thing in the back and chop it up.
You got that right.
It was for a year.
It was big. It was big.
That's awesome.
I'd always like to see a cow in the middle of a road.
I'm pretty sure last time we heard from Road King, I thought he said he wasn't driving anymore. So it sounds like he's back into driving.
Yeah, I thought he was doing City Buzz or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. For some reason, I was thinking he was like jockeying in a yard somewhere.
That might be too. Yeah, maybe he did the city driving bus driving earlier in his career.
I don't know. But anyways, good to hear from you. Let's get on to the next voicemail. We don't know who it is till we hit play. Let's go.
Yes, this is a response to Tony talking about a story he heard from way back when about crossing union lines. I was driving a tractor trailer out in California, and I had the opportunity to drop my trailer and bobtail to a Ralph's grocery store. And it just so happened they were striking, the Ralph's employees, and it's a union company. So I come bobtailing up in my truck, and I park out in the parking lot. Of course, they noticed this. And as I'm trying to navigate the store into the store, they're blocking the entrance, and they are trying to intimidate me. Somebody said something smart like, I hope you drive that truck better than you navigate that buggy you're pushing. It was really sort of creepy. Nobody followed me around the store. Anyway, I just wanted to report that. And all right, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. She is a former guest, but I don't want to say her real name because I think we gave her a different name on that show. We had this debate last time we had a break room show. She called in. So thank you, returning guest. Now caller, and I see you called three other times back to back to back, so let's just play them back to back to back. Let's go.
This is a funny story from a trucker buddy of mine. He witnessed a tractor trailer hit a light pole in a parking lot, like of an old Kmart or something. And that light pole fell into the top of his trailer. So terrible. And when he opened the trailer door to see what kind of damage he was looking at, the light was still lit, illuminating the inside of that trailer. And I just thought that was hilarious. if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. There's just no end to the number of things that can go wrong. One of the other stories, now this actually happened to him. Him and a co-driver were parked near like an old rundown restaurant that had been closed. They were like parked out back or somewhere. And I guess they spent the night there. And once they got rolling down the road, they looked back. And one of the gutters from that building was stuck in the side of their trailer. Honestly, you can't make this stuff up. They had to stop and pull the gutter out of the side of their trailer. Apparently, they'd gotten too close to the building and hit it, took the gutter with them. Anyway, all right, take care, fellas. Bye-bye. Yes, this is a lesson in distraction and what can go wrong while you're distracted. This happened to myself. I lost about 650,000 safety miles over this incident. I was only about 4 miles from my terminal. I had just left. And I decided I was going to pull up into the shopping center that housed the McDonald's. Now, I've got a camera, my own personal camera, in the window of my truck, and it's listening. And it's also looking out. And as you hear me talking on the video saying, I'm going for it. I'm going to pull up in there and go to that McDonald's. And I turned it into the place. And the first thing I see is about 15 pickup trucks with young men loitering in the portion of the parking lot that I would actually have to make my U-turn. So I'm distracted at this point. Unbeknownst to me, while I'm distracted looking at these fellas, trying to figure out what I'm going to do next, the camera is tracking a light pole with about a 3-foot concrete base at the bottom of it that was big around as a barrel. And my camera is tracking this as if I'm fixing to hit it head on. I did not hit it head on, but it skidded down the side of that Peterbilt and it hit the mirror, pushed it up against the truck. The base, the concrete base, busted up the steps on that side. And the thought that really blew my mind, one, that it happened, but two, I didn't realize a tractor trailer would stop that fast. When I hit that concrete, it stopped that truck dead right there. And it really just sort of blew my mind that a tractor trailer would stop that fast. Anyway, the young men came over, picked up pieces of the truck and put it, you know, in the front seat or whatever. And it was an embarrassing event. And like I said, I lost 648,000 miles, accident-free miles over that. And cost about $10,000 to fix that truck. They never brought it back. It only got about 5.5 miles to the gallon, and they never brought that truck back, thank goodness. But anyway, I didn't have to tear it up in order to get it gone off the yard. But anyway, things happen, and that was just one example of being distracted. It wasn't a cell phone. I wasn't on the phone. Anyway, thank you. Yes, I was making a delivery in Oxnard, California. The date was June 14th, 2004. That was the day that Air Force One flew President Ronald Reagan back to California to be buried. He flew into Point Mugu Naval Air Station. And he was to be buried that afternoon, evening, at sunset. And I'm here to tell you, I saw Air Force One fly over. And it was probably the most profound thing I have ever seen. It was going west towards the water and the sun. And that plane banked to the left. And it was the most beautiful sight I think I've ever seen. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
You know, three thoughts with those things that she was talking about. Number one, take the gutter and run. Number two, distractions happen. Yeah. Number three, some people still love this country.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you know, I appreciate that.
I can't imagine how heart-wrenching that is. 648,000 miles.
Yeah, and it's just like miles. Gone.
Yeah, it's like, imagine like you're building something, you know, whether it's your safety miles or you're an entrepreneur, you're building a business, and all of a sudden it's just taken away from you because of just one thing. It's just like, all that time, you know,
one moment of distraction. And it happens that quickly.
Yeah.
It happens that quickly.
Yeah. It was like the one guy, a pit that you had to pick up, not too long ago. He was, a year, not even a year away from retiring.
Yeah. In fact, he was even talking, he told me he was talking to his wife earlier. That year, that week, and you know, maybe it's time to retire. It's time to get done. You know,
yeah.
And
then he rolls it.
Rolls it.
Yeah.
Really a shame. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he was from my terminal.
Very nice guy. I enjoyed the ride back to Norristown from Baltimore with him. It was really nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and
really is.
But it's just the one thing can go wrong, and all of a sudden, your life has changed. Fortunately for her, it was just the miles that she lost. So awesome caller, and she was an awesome guest.
She was.
And let's get on to the next one.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Brian. I'm Stacy. I've been driving flatbed for nine and a half years now. Talking about first training drives. How about driving oversized downtown Washington, D.C.? I was told I can deliver until 5 o'clock. So I'm calling traffic and I call my dispatcher to let him know, hey, I'm running a little late, but can you give me some more information where I deliver? So he calls the person, the guy at the construction site, calls me back. Oh, we just left. But I'll give you directions and you can park off site. And next to the street where a hotel is being worked on. Yeah, so I had to park overnight with 60-foot beams, oversized, in Washington, D.C. during rush hour. Oh, yeah, I was like two blocks away from the ATF building. All kinds of fun. Well, hey, I'll talk to you later. Talk to you. See you. Bye.
All right, driver, we thank you for the phone call. That was awesome. I tell you what, when you got to drive those big oversized loads downtown Washington, D.C., not fun. Not fun at all.
Not fun at all.
That's called working.
Reminds me of the guy that called in a long time ago. He works for the Baltimore terminal. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Baltimore terminal.
Yep, it was.
He had the D.C. story.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Pitt, Ohio, you said that some people from Pitt, Ohio have been listening to the show, man.
Yes, sir.
How's that going for you?
It's going great. It's really going great. Yeah, I really appreciate them listening. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
It's crazy. I mean, we've been doing a show for about a year and a half now, and it seems like the last couple of months, it's been picking up steam at your terminal.
Yeah, which is really neat.
People talking and listening to the show and coming on the show. It's
shout out to all those guys at Pitt.
All the guys at Pitt.
Listening to Hammer Lane Legend.
Straight it's from really the
cool. Pitt. I appreciate
it. Yeah, it's really cool. So, all right, next up, let's get to it.
Hey, guys, doing to the show. Friend of the father of the host. Been with Brian for 24 years. Great show. Just hammering down here, heading out to Washington, PA. Name is Gary. I go by Grinder Man because I grind him like a mother. So, great show. Just want to say hello and we'll keep you guys on and check out your new cast. Thanks a lot. Be safe. Riverside up.
All right. All right. Grinder man.
Thanks, Gary. That was really cool. I appreciate you calling in. That was neat.
Yeah. Speaking of Pitt, Ohio.
Just get a shout out sometimes, right?
Yeah. Grinder man.
Yeah.
All right. Grinder man. Because he grinds him like a mother. I love it. Well, listen, he called back again. So let's see what he had to say.
Hey, guys. It's Grinder man calling back again. Hey, I just want to do a quick story here. Like I said previously, I worked with Brian for the last 24 years. I also am the youngest in my family, youngest of six. My dad was one of eight. He's got six brothers and a sister. Anyway, it has to do with my grandfather. My grandfather drove truck for 50 years. The majority of the time was with Corrugated and cardboard. And then he moved on to local breweries and whatnot. Well, anyway, the story I have was in 1949, my dad at the time was 15, working in the field with a local farmer. And the farmer came to him and said, you got to go to the hospital, your dad's in the hospital. Well, what happened was he was running a load of beer and he was going down 22 at Cemetery Curve. And got into a head-on accident with a guy coming back from a pub convention. And needless to say, the guy didn't survive, unfortunately. And actually, the funny part is, well, not the funny part, but the part about it is, my grandfather got thrown out the windshield of a tractor trailer because he had an accident with a car. So that just goes to show you the times where the vehicles weighs just as much as almost a truck. So I just wanted, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there and said, you know, and the thing about it is, like I said, my dad had six brothers and a sister, and neither of them ever drove truck. And so it's just myself, and actually I have a niece that drives for FedEx. But as I said, I mean, there's my grandfather. Raising eight kids, my grandfather didn't work, and he raised eight kids on one income, just driving trucks. So, but the moral of the story is, I don't understand why people don't want to drive truck. I understand it's a stressful job, it's a boring job, but it doesn't have to be. It's a good providing job. It all depends on the person, I guess. So, anyway, guys, keep up the great show. I look forward to listening to more. Like I said, I'm a newbie to the show, and you guys are doing a great job, and we'll chat with you later. See ya.
All right, Grinder man, that was awesome to hear from you again. Thank you so much. Again, that's just really cool to hear people that you work with, you know, calling in, listening to the show. That's really cool.
Grinder,
that is really neat. Man, I'll tell you what, imagine that. Imagine, you know, hitting a car and flying through the windshield.
Seatbelts, kids. Like, seatbelts. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's freaking nuts, man. And what's really nuts is, once upon a time, somebody could support eight kids and a wife off of a trucking income.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's possible these days. Holy crap. Times have changed.
Yes, they have.
Nobody has eight kids anymore. Nobody just has trucking as the only income to support eight kids. Oh, man. Well, let's get to the next one.
Hey there, Brian and Tony. My name is John, and that's a fake name, by the way. I just don't want anybody to figure out who I am, but been driving for 20 years. Did 15 years of local delivery, U.S. Foods, up and down a ramp with a hand truck full of groceries. Finally, my body told me to F off, and he wasn't going to do it anymore. So now I drive for the biggest private fleet, I believe, in the world. You guys can probably figure it out. It starts with a W and ends with a Mart. And I, so far, I love it. Been here about a year. And anyways, the things you see behind a Walmart store. Well, let me tell you a good one. Down in Eugene, Oregon, that's where I'm up in the Northwest. Eugene, Oregon, pulling back behind this store, and it's disgusting. There's homeless people everywhere. And I see something. Trying to figure out what I'm looking at, and this guy is just rocking back and forth with his hand up in the air, just like you're riding a cow at the rodeo. And let me tell you what, he was riding a cow right out in plain daylight. I don't know what he had her bent over, but man, his arm was up in the air and he was just, just riding at the rodeo, man. Like I said, the only thing he was missing was a cowboy hat and a vest. But anyways, man, I got some other stories, but maybe I'm just too shy to call or send you an email. But anyways, I hope you guys have a good one. Yeah. And if you guys ever need to know anything about Walmart transportation, being new, I pretty much know some answers, I guess. Anyways, you guys take care. I love your show. Bye-bye.
All right. Well,
all right. Fake name, John.
Fake name, John.
That was cool.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, definitely.
Giddy up. Funny. Ride him, cowboy, I guess. I have no idea.
I don't know what to say.
Oh,
what do you say to that?
Yeah. Probably didn't want to see it. That's for sure.
Yeah, you got that
right. Is for sure.
But I'll tell you what, those guys that haul that food up and down those ramps all the time,
yeah,
like U.S. Foods and stuff like that, my hat's off to them. That's a hard job. That's
yeah.
a freaking hard job.
Big time. But brother, definitely don't be shy. You called in. You might as well just email us the stories and get on the show, have a conversation, recap the whole cowboy story, and giddy up. You know what I mean? So let's giddy up on up to the next one. Let's go.
Tony, Brian, it's Connor here, the rock and roll tour bus driver. Happy to announce that live music is back. We're back on the road. I've never seen so many guys in black t-shirts so happy to be unloading trucks at 8 o'clock in the morning to put a show on that night. Just finished up my first couple of weeks with a band. I'll be back on the road for the rest of the year. Feels good. Hope to talk to you guys soon, or maybe we'll cross paths out there in Philly or Bethlehem or Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good to know. Good to know, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you're back, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back.
That's every once in a while, I think about you, too, because of, you know, what you do for a living and stuff. I'm like, I think I know somebody that could help me out with something that I'm working on. So I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad everything's going well for you.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Good to know the update there. And yeah, man, I mean, shoot, Philly, Lancaster, Bethlehem, you kind of got us cornered there with the geographical location.
Yep.
So somewhere within that triangle, we'll call it the Merkel Triangle, we reside.
I don't know if I would call it that, but
well, it's a weird one. So
yeah. Weird stuff happens anyway.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Like two guys teaming up to do a podcast, you
yes,
know?
Sir.
Whoever thought?
That was cool, Connor. Thanks for calling in.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Hey, Tony and Brian. This is Zach from Rock Bottom to Trucking and the Dunbar Armored Stores. I just want to give you guys a quick call and tell you a story from Snow Apocalypse, all the way down in Texas. So actually, the very first time I called you, I was the very next day in I was in Texas when that storm hit, and I was heading into it and about to deal with it the next day after I got off the phone with you guys. So I definitely got some stories from that, plus other stuff from the road. And now I remember that now I'm not completely sleep deprived. So if you guys want to hear it, let me know, and I'll shoot you guys off an email. But quick story from Snow Apocalypse. I was trying to work my way from the Dallas area down to San Antonio. And it was a week-long process to get down there, but keep it a little bit shorter here. I'm heading down one of the highways in Texas. I don't remember which one. Heading towards San Antonio. And the way the highway was, I thought the highway was going to be good enough to drive on. Mind you, I'm bobtail, so that adds a whole new element of fun. So I'm trying to bobtail down this highway, and the highway is basically just a layer of snow, ice, and slush, with this one little meandering, wandering path of semi-dry to, you know, visible pavement to nothing, to ice ruts, all of that fun stuff along this path. The rest of the highway, forget about it. It's just deep slush snow with a
giant sheet of layer of ice underneath all that. So I'm going along. I'm maybe doing between, I'm like 15 miles an hour to maybe 30. And that's pushing it a little bit. So I'm cooking along, trying to do the best I can. Of course, there's traffic. So, of course, you know, because there can never be a snowstorm without they don't know how to deal with the weather. And have no concept of just stay in the one part of
I think he got so angry that he got cut off.
His phone felt the anger. His phone felt the heat.
It's like, no, bro, you need to calm down. You need, come on, man, calm down before our Chris Brown. You know what I mean? Whack! Cut him off. But I see he called back twice. This next one's 30 seconds, so maybe his phone said, you need to still pipe down a little bit. Let's check it out.
Well, either this phone doesn't like me or... y'all just don't want to hear my story, but I'm going to continue because that definitely was no 15 minutes. So cooking along on the one little meandering path down the highway, I finally get, I'm going along and there's traffic coming up on me. Now, mind you, I'm doing 15, maybe 20 miles an hour. So, of course, I expect these, you know, less than smart individuals to pass me.
Bro, your phone sucks. It ain't us.
Your phone did it again.
I don't know what to tell you. The voicemail line doesn't discriminate. But your phone, on the other hand, you might want to put that thing in check. Let's see if we can finish your story. Let's go.
I will not be censored, Tony. Tell your voicemail to stop trying to censor me. Anyways, about to get passed by this truck. He's heavier loaded with than me, so he's kicking up all sorts of slush, ice, and fun while he's going down the side of the road. Now, mind you, he's on my right, and he's splashing crap everywhere. There is traffic coming up behind me. One of them I see is a Jeep. Now, as they're coming along, this Jeep decides, he sees me, I'm going slow, but he sees the trucker starting to pass me. So he decides he's going to get behind the trucker. Well, as the truck is going along, apparently he hits a drier or not slushy part of the road, and he stops kicking up so much stuff. So now you have me, which I'm in this meandering little path that's beginning to make its way back towards the right. I was all the way to the left. Then you have Mr. Trucker, Mr. Super Trucker, I'll say. He's in slush-o-land, about to hit another big slush patch. And then on his right is just snow and ice. Well, Mr. Jeep decides I'm going to pass the trucker because now he's not kicking up crap loads of slush and ice. Well, guess what happens? Just as Mr. Jeep starts getting up to his drive, what does he hit? He hits slush land. All that slush and ice and crap starts spraying Mr. Jeep. He either freaks out or just legitimately loses control, probably a little bit of both. And all you see is Mr. Black Jeep just go careening off into the great white wonder of the right side of the highway. And I will give credit to Mr. Jeep because I saw this. All you see is this big plume of snow and then this Jeep starting to flounder. I'm like, oh, well, you just wrecked. And I'll give him credit. He didn't freak out. He spunned it. He slammed the gas. And all you see is just this tail of snow and of just billowing snow on this Jeep and this black Jeep, and he blasted right around, right through, I'm assuming, a field, because it's Texas, so probably, and manages to get himself back onto the highway. But he did stop, so I'm thinking, you know, he had to get out and make a change of pants and underwears. So that's a little story from Snow Apocalypse, which was definitely a lot of fun. So let me know if you guys want to hear that, but I will let you go before this thing decides to drop me. So Tony, here's one for you. Beep, beep, my MF-er. And Brian, six-pound turkey? Six-pound turkey? That's a chicken! See you later, guys. Have fun.
Oh man, listen, my man, you need to get a new phone. You got a potato phone or something that's cutting you off like that.
The string broke.
Yeah. Listen, I would suggest next time you want to call into the show, just try a carrier pigeon. That might help you a little bit better than.
Seriously, it was good hearing from you, Zach. And we'd love to hear your stories from the snow apocalypse.
Yeah,
you
man.
Send us an email. We definitely want to talk to you. Really, you know, I think that'd be an interesting conversation.
HLLpodcast@protonmail.com. You know it. Get it.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get to the next one.
Hey, Brian and Tony. It's Alan in Arizona again. A couple podcasts ago, you had a guy that was hauling cattle and had one of them basically shit down out onto the trooper. I got a similar story going through Texas. It was the summer of 1989. I was 16 and we were driving through Tennessee to visit my granddad. We're about halfway through Texas and we come up on a cattle hauler. And we started getting these green sprinkles on this windshield of the car. And my dad told me to back off and wait before there was enough room to get around the truck. Well, this nice new car went around me and then just started to kind of idle by the truck. Well, it wasn't too long. A cow pressed its butt up against the side of the trailer and let it fly. There's a green fire hose shooting out the side of that trailer. It completely covered up the car that was passing, and I barely missed most of the spray, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just wanted to call that one in. A few other things I might call in later, and we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one. Bye.
Man, thanks for calling, and I'll tell you what.
That sucks. Always be careful when passing cattle haulers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
People don't think sometimes.
No,
you know?
I know. I think I told my story of that when I had, I forget what it was, but my whole truck was covered in brown dots.
Yep,
and, yeah. Nice and smelly.
I would definitely want to hear from you some more.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
Absolutely. Give us a call.
Or give us just another email. And come on. You got some stories. Come on and just talk with us. Chop it up, as Tony says.
Chop it up.
Chop it up.
Apparently, that's an old school saying now, and I'm getting old. So yes. I'm going to take the next 53 seconds to contemplate my age.
Hey, Tony. This is Gary. I work with Brian. I've been with Ohio for about 24 years, just as well as Brian, your dad. I don't have too many Friday stories, but I talked to your dad before about this. Get a chance. I wouldn't mind talking about some sea stories when I was in the Navy. How's that? Great show. Love what you guys are doing. Love the juggling. It's great. But the 2-2 was even to be better. But all right, guys, have a good one. Keep the hammer down and the hammer laid.
That was cool talking to you again, hearing from you again, Gary. That was it was really neat, and I appreciate it. Send us an email, and we'll definitely, we'll schedule you for the show, and, you know, that's what we're always looking for, guys to sit and talk with, so.
Yeah,
that's the thing to do.
Man, the Pit Boys, man, they're showing out here. They're showing out here. We got two guys that were on the show from your terminal. We got people calling in the voicemail line. I'm telling you, we might be on to something here. The Pit Boys, man. I think we're going to start calling the Pit Boys straight from the pit.
Yes, sir.
We dig it. We dig it. Next up.
Hey, lads. How you doing? Mike here. Just quickly checking in, leave a voicemail. I'm going to really rabbit through this because I'll do a 15-minute class and let's see what I can do. I've got a new Peterbilt. Yes! Very nice. I had 40 miles on it. And now I've got 9,237 miles. Let me tell you where I've been. So I got back to work, left Oklahoma, did a load, took the Pacific Northwest, and then stories started happening across America. So I went to San Francisco, stopped in San Francisco, and I literally watched the guy pull his pants down, do a little dance, like Homer Simpson, jogging down the street. I don't know if you've seen that little meme that you see of him with his little fingers pinking out, going beep, 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 beep. And then he dropped his pants, dropped a deuce.
And we lost him. We lost him. So let's bring Toot Toot back because he calls twice. So it looks like we have some reception issues. Guys, listen, it's not the voicemail line. Don't go bashing my voicemail, okay? It's a computer. It's set up to record. Your problem is your phone. Your phones suck. All right?
No, they don't. It's just it's the technology. This is how we're gonna have autonomous vehicles. We don't even have phones that can stay connected. And you think we're going to have freaking tractor trailers with 80,000 pounds traveling down the road.
No, listen, it's coming. It is coming. But there is a problem. There's going to be trial and error, lots of death, lots of lives lost in the process.
It's going to be road warriors.
This is part of the mass depopulation agenda. Automation in tractor trailers. The trucks take a life of their own. They kill the drivers and everybody around them. That's what's coming. Wow. That's what's coming.
We went from a cell dropping out to road warrior carnage.
Your phones suck. All right, let's bring him back on. He called two more times, so I'm assuming his phone continued to suck.
I got cut off. I'm on Rattlesnake Mountain in New Hampshire. So I told you about the San Francisco. Then I went up to Seattle. I parked at this SeaTac rest stop. Lovely place, Seattle. What a hole, though. It was terrible. I couldn't even use any of the stalls because there was homeless people and tweakers living in there. Then I went down to Portland. I was at a truck stop with the big heart above it, if everyone out there knows what I'm talking about. Get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, go to the bathroom, no one in there. I'm in the stall, sitting there meditating, doing my thing, if you know what I mean, getting the day started the right way. And then I hear some strange noises. I won't divulge too much, but let's just say I get out and there's another tweaker in there in this place. I don't know what's going on in the Pacific Northwest. Unbelievable. This guy was pleasuring himself. I walk out, he's pleasuring himself. I'm just like, really? 1 o'clock in the morning? I've got to see this? There's no one else. If a tree falls in the wood, did it really fall? I mean, no one saw it apart from me. And then I start brushing my teeth, ignoring him. And then he comes right up next to me and starts popping zits in the mirror. I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. So then I went all the way down to Texas, to the Mexican border. I dropped off some steel for utility trailers, you know, so they can turn them into trailers for tractor trailers. And then I'm going down Highway 57. Every time I go down that highway, there's always something right on the border. There's always people getting, you know, arrested for trying to get over. My God, I swear, I must have saw about 30 people at 2 o'clock in the morning, all on the deck. I mean, there is craziness going on in this country, never mind the Pacific Northwest. But that border, that was unbelievable. The amount of people, I've been up.
And he's gone again. He's gone again.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. He was rolling, too. Let's get him on here for the last 41 seconds.
Something's going on with the voicemail. Keeps getting cut off. Anyway, got my New York stripes. Got my stripes in Connecticut. I went to.
Hang on a second. Did he just say that there's something wrong with the voicemail?
That's what he said.
Is that what we have two people that are suggesting there's something wrong with my voicemail? My voicemail line? I don't think so, but I'm going to let it slide. Let's start that one over.
Something's going on with the voicemail. Keeps getting cut off. Anyway, got my New York stripes. Got my stripes in Connecticut. I went to Boston, Salem. Saw a load of witches in Salem. Never seen so many witches in my life. That was crazy driving around there, tiny streets. Can't take a truck. I have to take my stuff down there. Insane. I'm in New Hampshire. I'm on a mountain. I went hiking. I left an apple out thinking I was going to see Bigfoot or something. And then I literally heard a guttural growl. And I got my ass down that mountain like Conor McGregor strutting down the mountain doing that walk. I have never been so scared in my life. So anyway, there you go. I tried to get a proper voicemail. Going to get cut off. So toot toot, I'm out.
That was awesome. Oh, Mike, it's always great to hear from you, man. It really is.
Yeah, I just picture talking about Conor McGregor, just, you know, that strut that when he comes out for a fight and stuff. Oh, man.
I showed that growl who's boss.
Yeah, you know, just don't you know who I am? Freaking awesome. Okay, let's bring on the next one.
Hey, Brian and Tony. Love your show. I am not a truck driver, but I have something that just cracked us up. Something's fierce. I recently got rid of a new car because it had all that computer stuff on it and it was just a piece of junk. So I bought an older car, which is a Honda Pilot. Well, apparently they had filled up the windshield washer tank with something that... Yeah, it cleaned the windshield, but it left a gray film on everything that it touched. So I wanted to use this stuff up. Unbeknownst to me, that must be about a 40-gallon tank because I have been trying for months, probably about 8 months now, to get that tank drained out. So every time I get a chance, I wash my windshield and then go have to wash the car again because it leaves this gray schmutz all over everything. I guess it's a Jewish term. I'm not sure. Anyway, we were coming back from the Dalles, Oregon, which is right on the Columbia River, heading east on I-84. And we were following a chip truck. And for people that don't know what a chip truck is, they're like a big semi trailer, maybe 48 to 53 feet long. I don't know. But the top is open and they fill it with wood chips. And those chips can be anywhere from a half inch to about 2.5 inches in diameter. And they fill up this entire thing. Well, the speed limit in this zone is 70 miles an hour for passenger cars and 65 for trucks. And I usually am, you know, like a typical grandpa, I usually drive kind of slow. So I had to have my cruise set at 68. And we're approaching the back of this big semi-truck. And you could see the tarp that was on top of this thing was flapping in the back. And the wind at that speed was blowing chunks of wood chips out and splattering anybody who was behind it. And that would be me. My wife was with me. You could hear him bouncing off the windshield in the car. And I finally sped up and passed him. And this area is very little traffic, so it's easy to get around somebody without blocking everybody off. And anyway, he was a good driver and all that sort of stuff, but obviously he didn't know that he was scattering wood chips all over all the cars that were behind him. So anyway, I get in front of him, and I'm, you know, a safe distance in front of him. Well, guess what? I decided to just see if I can empty that tank of windshield fluid. So I turned on the wipers and left the windshield pisser going for at least 2 to 3 minutes. It was just, and I got a really clean windshield out of it. Of course, I got lots of gray schmutz all over the car. We looked in the rearview mirror and noticed that the truck driver had his windshield wipers on. My wife and I were busting up laughing because had we realized this trick would work really good for anybody that's tailgating you, but maybe the semi-truck driver realized that, wonder why he's doing that. Couldn't be because I'm doing the same thing to all the cars behind me, only I'm throwing wood chips at them. Anyway, that's my story, and we still crack up to this day about that, and that's been about 4 months ago. Anyway, thank you for everything. You guys have a great show.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's awesome. You know, I thought he was going to say that, like, the wood chips, because of the gray film, was, like, sticking to his car. I was thinking his car was looking like a pine cone or something, you know? But it reminded me, when I used to work in a car garage, one of the mechanics pulled a car into the garage. And I was walking behind the car, and he knew this was an issue, and he timed it perfectly. So he was pulling it in for an inspection, and one of the problems with the car was when you hit the wipers, the hose was broken, and it would shoot out, like, on an angle past the car. It wouldn't even hit the windshield. And so as I was walking behind the car, he's watching in the mirror, kind of like ducked down. And as soon as I walked by the driver's side, he hits it. And I'm not kidding you, direct hit in my eye. Like it, the first thing that hit me was in the eye. I mean, you couldn't plan it any better. And that's what that reminded me of.
That's freaking hilarious. Although I do identify with him, you know, get in the right hand lane, just take your time.
Yeah.
Grandpa speed. That's me.
Yeah. That is you. That is you. You take pride in conserving fuel.
Yes, I
and,
do.
And how many miles do you get out of a tank on your car?
Like 550.
And it's not a Prius or anything.
Nope. It's all in how you drive.
Yeah, it's a Camry, manual transmission, and you get to that fifth gear real fast.
I do. Just cruising on down the road.
Oh, man. I love it. Well, he called back with another story, so let's get to him.
Hey guys, Brian and Tony, thanks for the show. I was just listening to one of your stories, one of your callers about loading dock scenarios. And I just remembered listening to him that back when I was, well, I'm in my mid-60s now, but back when I was about 21 years old, I was the supervisor of a loading dock of a small company that built just cheap kit cabinets out of particle board, and you had to put the stuff together. So they came in a flattened box. So they were fairly heavy boxes. Well, let's see. So they would stack all these boxes up on a pallet. You'd probably get, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 kits on one pallet. And those pallets were heavy because it was solid particle board. And typically we stacked them too high. Well, I was the supervisor of the loading dock at 21 years old with all my wisdom. I got a page. I got a truck driver here. You know, you can hear it over the loudspeaker. Truck driver here is in a big hurry, so get him loaded fast. Well, fortunately, I had his load all staged and ready to go. I see him drive in. I roll up the door, and I was on I think it was a 2-ton forklift, rubber tire jobby. It wasn't all that big, but it left 2 pallets of those with no problem. So anyway, the truck backs in. I hear him set his air brakes, and I immediately got to work, grabbed a double stack of, you know, pretty heavy pallets and start driving into the back of the truck. I no sooner got my front tires where the load was into the back of the truck when I hear the air brakes release and he starts pulling away from the dock. And I'm looking down at this gap increasing between the back of his truck and the loading dock. Oh my God. I had no idea what to do. And there was the horn on the lift lever, and I'm blowing that and I'm screaming, and he stops when I had about maybe 3 inches behind my front tires, the drive wheels, and the back of his trailer. And then there's about a maybe 2-2.5 foot gap to my back tires with my steering wheels or steering tires at the edge of the loading dock. And I didn't know what to do. I knew if I jumped and this thing fell, it would probably land on me. Plus, you know how high a loading dock is. This is solid cement. The drive-in bay is all cement. I didn't want to drop, 4.5, 5 feet, something like that, with solid steel and 2 pallets of heavy particle board. Oh my God, even now it gives me chills to think about that image of looking down thinking, what am I going to do? Well, he stopped, and I never did see him. But I just stayed right in place. There was no seat belt. There wasn't a solid cage. So it wasn't like I couldn't fall out if it did fly off. So anyway, he did back in. I have no idea what he was thinking. I had to go sit down for a while because that scared the living daylights out of me. Anyway, thank you everybody that calls in. I love your stories. So that's one of mine. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Man, that's scary,
Holy
you think?
Holy cow. Oh, my word. I mean, that's just, that's enough to make you, you know, I'd get chills.
Yeah.
All these years later.
Jeez, man.
Oh, my word.
Like, even jumping out and stuff at that point, you can still get seriously injured.
Oh, my word, yeah.
I mean.
And what the heck?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Scary, scary, scary.
Well, thanks for calling in, because, man, that's a lesson. That is a lesson.
Big time.
Yep.
Big time. And it's nice that he said that too at the end. He's like, thanks everybody for calling in and sharing your stories. That was cool.
That was cool.
It was him talking to the people.
Yep.
Love it. All right.
Man, brother.
On to the next one.
Hey, boys. Body Snatcher here. If you remember a few weeks ago, I got cut off. And so here goes nothing. Okay. Back to the 80s. At this point, Mr. Krabby had been working at U.S. Steel for 55 years. He was drafted back in the 40s into World War II, but because of a heart murmur, he wasn't able to go. Lucky break. Maybe not so much. With all the boys shipped overseas to fight, there were very few men left to work. Those vacant positions were filled with women. The department he worked in consisted of him, Mr. Krabby, and 138 women. That's a young fella's dream come true. Oh, man, you're lucky. I should slap you in the mouth, he replied. Just the opposite, my little naive friend. Lucky? It was hell. I would rather be a prisoner of war than work with those ladies. And I use the word ladies loosely. The work was hot and dirty. He was constantly breaking up fights, and the gossip was incessant. He clued me in on some science, something I had never imagined was a thing. You must understand, my son, the longer women work together, the closer they get. Mother Nature can be very cruel. Their time of the month slowly sinks together, one unified force, meaning the devil himself makes a personal appearance for 3 days every single month. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of the fairer sex. Too much of a good thing. He compared it to working with nitroglycerin. One misstep, and you're in a world of hurt. He said he would keep track of it with a calendar to chart and predict the visitation of ant flow. To avoid this time of upheaval, he would take vacation days, call in sick, or just plain hide in his office. Another old man I met, Mr. Pete Stathakis, a Polish Jew. Pete was a locomotive engineer. Pete would call me in on the radio and feed me until I couldn't move. Polish dishes and desserts. Eat, kid, he would say. Mr. Stathakis loved feeding people because he almost starved to death on several occasions in a Jewish ghetto located in Warsaw, Poland. It was under the Nazi control. Only he and one of his cousins survived. The rest of their family starved to death, along with 140,000 others. 160,000 were gassed. He said every Tuesday at 6 a.m., the Nazis were very punctual. 2,000 family and friends were stuffed into cattle cars and taken away to a work camp where there was plenty of food and nice, cozy accommodations. Of course, that was a lie. Word got back to the ghetto that they were being taken to an extermination camp. In order to get food, they used children because children were very small. They would go through a little opening in the wall. These tiny smugglers would trade goods for food on the Aryan side. On one of these smuggling operations, Pete, his brother, and two other boys were slipping through a hole in the wall. The Nazis would make a game of it, target practice on children. These boys and girls would scatter, hoping for the best. Pete's older brother was killed. He was only 16 years old. Now, Pete was full of stories. Most of these stories ended in death and dismemberment. This particular Pete story was haunting. Years later, I verified this story with a connection that I had at Eastside Safety. A handful of men died. Some actually lived to tell the tale. In the old days, there was a locomotive engineer and his switchman, or he would be an oiler too. In the late 70s, AI started baby stepping its way down the slippery slope. The engines were converted over to remote control, eliminating the need for a switchman. The engineer would drop a string of cars. He could use a wood car stop block to chuck the wheels, preventing the car from rolling back. If the wood block was crushed down or not there at all, the cars or subs could roll back depending on the grade. Imagine a string of subs. Sub, it's a sub-looking kind of container full of molten steel rolling silently back at you. On occasion, the poor soul would find himself in a tight spot between the sub and the engine. Some guys got pinched and may get a hunk of hide tore off, or you could get a couple deep into your abdomen. That's what happened to this man. He was coupled good and tight. There were medics, firemen, a doctor on site very quickly. U.S. Steel has 3 fire stations and a small hospital on property. The doc pumped this poor man with morphine. If they uncouple the engine from the cars, the operator would die immediately. Plan B. A priest was brought out, in addition, the man's wife and eldest son. The man was covered in a blanket. All you could see was his face. The priest administered the last rites. His wife and son had an opportunity to say goodbye. Only after security drove the family members away, they uncoupled the engine. The man was loaded with painkillers, and he was gently laid on a field stretcher. He expired very quickly. Good Lord. You say body snatcher. That's some heavy shit. Oh, I know. I know. Let's cleanse our collective palate, shall we? Here's a story about an exploding port-a-john. Mr. Merkel, are you still with us? I heard that you have an outhouse. That's pretty dope. It triggered a memory. At first, I thought of our church picnics in the summer when I was a kid. There was always 3 port-a-johns on site. They were comically labeled 1st John, 2nd John, and you guessed it, Brian, 3rd John. Baptist humor. Port-a-johns at U.S. Steel. Let's see. Perhaps this could be the holy grail of pranks. For years, I heard about this prank. I thought it was just a frazzle drip rumor until I seen it done with my own eyes. I was told by a master craftsman. I only dabbled in pranks. Now, Eddie, on the other hand, he went hard in the paint. He revealed to me the secret. A port-a-john needs to be 1/2 to 3/4 full for the maximum effect. Here's what I witnessed. This unfortunate iron worker goes into the toilet, usually a newbie, right? It's kind of a rite of passage. They let him get in there, give him enough time to make a proper seal with his half moons. Like a special ops team, they spring into action. One man sets up a ladder. The other man heats up a large bolt with an acetylene torch and a pair of channel locks. The red-hot bolt is handed off to the first man on the ladder. The bolt is dropped into the vent pipe. Then the pranksters scatter. These guys were like hillbilly scientists. The superheated bolt travels down.
And that's where he leaves us off. Cliffhanger once again. The body snatcher does it again.
Darn it.
Taking our chuckling souls for the next voicemail line.
Call in again.
Yeah, finish the story, man. Finish the story. I don't know what's wrong with you guys and your phones. It's not my voicemail line.
We hear enough from Mr. Body Snatcher that he's sending us an email and coming on the show.
Yeah,
and sharing.
We've invited him. And he's crickets. He just wants to stick to the voicemail line.
I know, and so, I get it. I understand.
That's I don't get it. I don't get it at all, Mr. Body Snatcher. Get on the show. All right, next up. Hello?
Hey, Tony and Brian.
Hey.
It's Smegerman, or Zach. Just calling in another story from you from the road that just happened the other day. So, going down 85, and... it was early in the morning on a Saturday, and apparently people in Georgia like to get a little crazy. Going down, saw a couple walking. Well, I'm sorry, my AirPods hate me. Walking down the shoulder of the highway, wearing very dark colors. And the interesting part was, man, they must have had one crazy, not happy night, because the girl was riding the white line. The guy was way over the grass. So it's like plenty of separation, and they're just booking along down the highway. So Oh, that was fun to see. And just to have that pop out of nowhere. Thankfully, I didn't hit anything. I hope they made it through okay. The second one, which was nice, going up a pretty nice hill, I could see lights. Little lights. It looked like brake lights. It could have been strobes. I'm like, all right, so there might be something over this hill. So we get up over this hill. Obviously, the hill slows me down. That's good. That was, oh my God. I'm sorry, guys. My AirPods just hate being connected to my phone, apparently. So I crest this hill, and there's this big accident right there, right just over the crest of the hill. There's police everywhere, fire, EMS. They've got two lanes blocked off. I'm in the far right lane. Thankfully, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, so I was able to shoot over to the left lane quickly. But it's just like, you know, big accident. I didn't really see what happened. It looked like a couple of cars smacked stuff into each other. There, you know, everything was going on there. But it's like, it was just like, holy crap. If I hadn't seen those lights and was paying attention, I could have been right in the middle of that. I could have just blasted through all of them if I wasn't paying attention. And honestly, probably didn't have that hill there to help slow me up and all those things. So that was great. But then the icing on the cake for that night, and apparently the craziness that people like to have in Georgia on a Saturday night, maybe 3 or 4 miles up the road from that accident, come up to a car on the shoulder of the highway. I've got a car on my right. I'm in the far right lane. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I can't get over. So I'm riding the dotted white as close as I can. And I get up to this car, it's got its flashers on, he's just about on the right lane, and for whatever reason, this person had such a great night that apparently they decided to sleep in their car, windows down, headlights on, flashers on, I'll give them that, but his feet outside the window, outside the driver's window. And he's inches from the white line. So his feet were pretty much either at or just about in the roadway. And it's just, how much of a good night do you have to have that you need to pull over on the side of the road, sleeping sideways with your feet out the window in Georgia? Man, what are you Georgians doing, bro? There's got to be some nights. I really hope that guy was just alive and just had a crazy, crazy night, and that's what he decided to do, and he got help. Because, man, if someone wasn't paying attention, or a strong gust of wind, or a stupid four-wheeler that crowded across the lane, and that guy's losing his feet and legs, that would suck. But thought I'd throw that out there, just some things that happened to me out on the road. Hope to hear a voicemail from you guys, a voicemail episode soon. You guys have a great night. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, we're finally freaking doing the voicemail show, and that is crazy. I would not be putting my feet out in the wind. Like, do you ever get nervous when you break down on the side of the road and you have the trucks just flying by you and it's like real close in the mirror?
Heck yeah.
I get nervous. I remember one time I broke down on a bridge in Philly, just going on 76, the Schuylkill Expressway, going into the city. And I literally broke down at the worst spot. It was like an on-ramp on a bridge, and I pull over and people are just, you know, flying by me trying to get onto Schuylkill. And I was sitting there for hours, and a SEPTA bus came by and took out my mirror, just took the whole mirror right off the truck. I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do about that.
And that's our city bus driver.
But I'll tell you what, it's an interesting experience when you don't have a mirror and you're driving a truck and you're so used to checking your mirrors and being able to see what's happening behind you. And the whole way you're driving and you can't see anything. You're just like, well, I'm just putting my hand out the window. I'm turning. It is what it is. You make do, I guess. But that was back in the day with another company. And, you know, it's one of those things where, well, do you have any idea how much it would cost to have you towed? Please just drive it back. But I don't have a mirror. Just drive it back. All right. You know,
we'll see.
Okay. Okay. If I have an accident, though, it's on me because it's my license. All right. Next up.
Good morning, Merkles. This covers each and every one of you. From Brian to Tony, his wife, family, and your brother. I apologize for the background noise. If you hear that, I'm driving presently. Either walking or driving. I want to say, Tony, I've been listening to your show the very beginning of it. I enjoyed the podcast. Your Hammer Lane Legends, because I'm not a truck driver, at least I wasn't. And I didn't really consider the truck that I drive, you know, trucking until you mentioned.
All right, well, we lost him there, but I see he called back, so let's just give him another shot here. I heard his connection was a little rough there, so maybe he has a better connection now. Let's see what he's got to say.
Good morning again. I'm going to sound like a fool because my previous short message, I ended abruptly. Yes, I was driving, but you know, hopefully it's not going to be too bad. I only use hands-free stuff, so I know it doesn't really make a difference, but I'm stopped now. Now I'm going to finish what I was recording. And to say thank you for the shows, all the ones you do. I haven't listened to Rage yet. I'd like to. I just never am able to. But after listening to you guys, not hesitated listening because, like I said, I wasn't a trucker. I started driving a straight truck, and it's a box truck. I didn't figure that was trucking, but listening to you mention yours, I've been doing that. And then listening to you and Brian going on about how, you know, people on the roads, you know, treat truckers, and I've seen it firsthand, and I get it, and I genuinely appreciate how both of you, especially Brian, mentions when you're passing semis to just go past them and not sit next to them, and your concern for the public. You know, I appreciate it, and it matters to me. And I do that now. Every time I go by a semi, I don't even sit next to them, don't even drive by them. If I can't, anyway, if I can avoid it. But I also wanted to mention that I really, really enjoy hearing what you Brian and Tony have as, you know, family, father and son. I wish I had it with my father, being able to, you know, laugh and communicate like you two do. I appreciate that. I love hearing that, you know, even if you two just do nothing but laugh during most of the episode. I thoroughly enjoy that for both of you.
Man, we lost him again. Jeez. Just when somebody's, you know, pumping me up, they I lose him. I like it.
That was really cool. That was really nice of him to call in.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. And it's a blast doing this with Tony. It is one of the best things I've done in my life.
Oh, it is really, man.
I enjoy it.
I tell you, like, you know, if you want to call back in and finish telling us how awesome we are, I would
it's
welcome.
All about you.
Oh, no, man.
That was nice. That was really nice. And go ahead.
I will answer one thing he said in there about Rage. I had a radio show called Rage Against Dystopia.
It is all about you, isn't it?
No, it is about me. I want to tell him because he called a few days ago on this voicemail, and yeah, he doesn't know. That radio show is dead. I canceled it about two months in. It just was too much on my plate. I have a really bad habit of biting off more than I could chew. So Rage Against Dystopia is dead. I canceled it.
That's all right.
What were you going
to
say, Dad?
No, you do what you need to do. But it's cool because that's what this show is about. It's about giving people a platform to talk, to enjoy, to chop it up, to have a good conversation with truck drivers or people who drive for a living, spend time on the road. And yeah, you know what? If you drive a straight truck, you drive a truck, my friend. That's the way it is. And so it's cool to hear from you, and I appreciate that. And if we can educate people and give some pointers for people to travel safely with trucks and cars on the road together, that's what we're here. That's what we're really trying to accomplish.
We're in this together.
Reminds me of a song, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going for a song, but all right, next up.
Hey, Tony's my first time calling. Huge fan of your show of both the Confessionals and Hammer Lane Legends. Both my dad and I are also truck drivers. Well, I am kind of slowly getting out of it because, government job. But I just want to tell you a quick story of when I drove off an overpass. This happened back in 2017 of August. It was when Hurricane Harvey was coming down. I was north of Houston in a small little area called Conroe, Texas. Me and my dad and another gentleman were hauling frac sand. And the job site we had got to when we were about maybe halfway blowing out the sand, the foreman came out and said, "Hey, man, you guys need to blow out all the sand ASAP because the hurricane's coming in and we're evacuating the area." So we're like, well, you know, trying to blow out as fast as we can, almost busting our PTOs and all that good stuff. But three of us got together and we decided, hey, let's just head back to our terminal back in San, outside of San Antonio. And, you know, just get there and wait for the hurricane to kind of just pass and, you know, keep on working. Good thing, you know, we, like I said, we just finished unloading. And maybe about 15 minutes out of the job site is when the rain started just, I mean, pouring down. It was coming down heavy. By that time, it was already dark. The wind was blowing and the wind was making the rain look like it literally was shooting sideways. That's how bad it was already getting. And the truck that I was driving, I don't want to say the company name, but they do a bunch of custom build trucks, you know, really nice trucks. I didn't get one of those yet, but it was a, you know, it was a pretty nice Peterbilt. And it had a lot of chrome on there, you know, I could say, and the paint job was pretty shiny. Well, speed limit must have been, I think, maybe 45 for that area that I was going through. I didn't know the area. And we were, you know, riding in a convoy, and my dad was in the front. The other coworker was in the middle, and I was in the back, and we were maybe about, I would say, maybe 3 minutes apart from each other. I guess you wouldn't call it a convoy, but still, you know, we were headed the same direction. On the phone with my wife, and I don't use cell, you know, hand phone or a cell phone in my hand at the time. I never do when I'm truck driving. I always use, you know, headset, Bluetooth, whatever. And I remember I was starting to go up the overpass, and a car was coming with their brights on. And, you know, you do that thing where you kind of just look off to the side because you don't want to get blinded by them really quick. And with the rain and the shininess of the chrome and the paint, you know, I don't want to be looking at it. Well, didn't know that that bridge had a curve to it, and just went straight off the top of it. My wife says that she remembers me saying, "Oh shoot, oh shoot, oh shoot," because I was on the phone with her. And she was a few months pregnant at the time with our third child. And she freaked out right away. And she's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "Well, don't freak out, but I just drove off a bridge." And yeah, it was a pretty wild experience. The crazy thing was, I heard on my CB the other coworker telling my dad, like, "Hey, Albert, your son just drove off the bridge." And when they tried circling around, they couldn't, because right where we were getting to, it was kind of like a mountain area. And you couldn't just turn around, you know, semis. And my dad actually drove by the bridge where I drove off of, and he couldn't even tell that I had driven off because of the rain, how bad it had been raining. And light was going out already, so people, you know, you couldn't really see anything that was under the bridge. Another crazy part about it is I remember when I landed, it landed on its passenger side. When I excuse me, when I unbuckled myself, I remember just kind of being like confused about what just happened. You know, I didn't think it really happened, but I remember opening the, or walking towards the cab of the truck, and that's when I started to panic because I didn't see a door, and I was looking for an actual door, like a house door, to open. And I remember I started getting anxiety, just like really quick. My heart started pounding, and then I was like, "Oh yes, I just flipped over a semi, so I need to get out." I got out, and was fortunate, you know, the cops showed up, ambulance and all that good stuff. And making sure I was okay. And the whole time, the first officer that showed up there was just a great guy. He was, you know, making sure that I was staying calm, and, you know, he was trying to treat me for anything. And you know, thank the Lord that I walked out with not a single scratch on me, just put a bruise on my chest from the seatbelt where it held me. And yeah, that was pretty much my wildest, I guess, story about truck driving. But yeah, man, appreciate you listening to this. But yeah, man, you have a good one.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yep.
What else do you say? Like, that's the last voicemail of this, you know, onslaught of voicemails we had. And holy crap. I mean,
that was crazy.
Yeah. And Albert, you need to email the show, because I want to, like, I got questions for you, bro. Okay. You can't just call the voicemail line and drop that story and think I did my part for, you know, the trucking industry. You need to call, please, Albert, email us, because I want to have you on the show to talk about that incident. And I'm sure we can find other things to talk about. But my Lord, I got to talk to you. You drove your truck off a bridge and you call a voicemail line show. Yeah,
that's amazing, dude.
Come on, man.
You know, the best part of that story is that he's okay. I mean, really.
Unbelievable.
Well, that is just that's just crazy.
Jeez. And his wife was on the phone with him when it happened. Wow. She's pregnant. His dad is two trucks ahead of him. And somebody calls on the radio, hey, your son just drove off a bridge. I mean, can you have any more family members involved in this incident while it's happening? It's unreal, man. Yeah.
No, that's it was interesting. Albert, that was really an interesting story. We'd love to talk to you.
Wow. Holy cow. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, friends, that was another voicemail line show. Long time in the making. Let's hope that we don't have to wait so long for another one. But we actually busted through them all on this one.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in. And thank you very much for calling the voicemail line show.
Most definitely.
And please, if you enjoyed this show, if you enjoy Hammer Lane Legends, please, please, please share it with your friends. We don't care where or how you share the show.
Yep.
Just share the show if you enjoyed it, because that's the best thing you can do
That's
to help the show grow.
Yes, sir. That's the way the show grows.
Absolutely.
Just word of mouth, letting people know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you enjoyed it and you want to tip us, buy us a coffee. Buy us a coffee. Buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. And there you can buy us a coffee and keep us caffeinated. And until next week, friends, stay safe. Wrong show. Keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane. Yeah.
I'm tired, man. I'm tired.
It was awesome hearing from everybody. Thank you all.
Should we cut that?
No, let it in.
All right. See you guys.
Take care.